2016 is set to be a big year for higher education, with university fee deregulation and sector funding cuts still a possibility for this year's federal budget. Australian universities are trying more than ever to stay competitive when it comes to students, while also conducting world-first award-winning research. Brian Schmidt is a Nobel Prize-winning astrophysicist, and as of yesterday, he is the new Vice-Chancellor of the Australian National University. Brian Schmidt, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Sarah.
You officially started in the job yesterday. How did your first day go?
Well, I have to admit, it felt a little foreign being in a very large office, it was good. I really enjoyed my first day being able to go and start talking about charting the future of the university.
And it is a nice time of year to start. The University Admissions Centre released its early offers for university places in 2016 today.
Yeah, that's correct. For the ANU, we've been really fortunate to have a huge demand for our courses. And so it's showing that, the university really is serving the nation well. And so our early offers are up 13% this year.
And you're looking ahead to a big year. University fee deregulation was a massive part of the Abbott government's higher education reform last year. The Turnbull government has now shelved those plans. But what are your thoughts on deregulation?
Well, I think deregulation in its purest form got a pretty hard knock around the ground last year. And I do think we need to look at some sort of reform, because right now all the universities are really being pushed to really emphasize quantity over quality. And, the ANU is all about quality, and I think we need to get a system that we can make the bills add up, but still provide really high-quality education to our students, and that's certainly what we're going to be focusing on at the ANU.
If the federal government wants to reintroduce the prospect of deregulation, should they do so, or should they take it to an election?
Well, I'm sort of agnostic of the politics of it. I think what we need to make sure is both the government and the opposition and the crossbenchers are focused on getting really good outcomes for both the students and the university sector. And that means really thinking, I think, about the policy. And so if we get the right policy, then I think everyone will agree. We're a fair ways away from that right now.
Many of the Group of Eight universities argue that fee deregulation would help us compete with the top universities in Asia and the US. You've just said the ANU is all about quality. Do you agree that fee deregulation could help us be competitive?
Well, fee deregulation is one way to raise money, but it does come at a cost for the students. And what we need to make sure we have is a policy that combines, as I said, having enough money coming through the system, but also makes it so that the universities are positioning themselves to be internationally competitive. And with the HECS system, the income contingent loans that our students have, that's effectively a subsidy. And having that work effectively in a pure deregulated environment is going to be very challenging, I think. And so I think we need to think a little bit side out of the current box.
And there are some concerns that universities may prioritise overseas students at the risk of domestic students. Do you think that is the case?
So it is certainly true that we earn more money right now, substantially more money from international students. But again, I can only say from my own university that quality is the centerpiece of what we're doing. And so we have no desire to take, for example, lesser students from overseas. But providing we get good overseas students, having a number of them is a good thing for our own domestic students, because universities are all about being involved in an international playing field, and making sure that we have people from around the world is really something that we can do to benefit Australia and our own students. So I think they're a part of the ingredient, but it would be a shame, of course, if we just became clearinghouses for international students and not domestic ones.
And of course, after they finish their degrees, many Australian students head overseas. Yesterday on this program, we spoke to Education Minister Simon Birmingham about his plan to collect student loan debts from graduates travelling overseas. Do you think that's a good idea?
So the HECS system, or the HELP system, these income contingent loans, are, in my opinion, one of the great systems of the world that really allow the government to invest in education by making people, when they're successful after a university degree, and a degree at the ANU, for example, is something that really empowers people. It gives them huge advantages throughout their lives. And so I think having a fair and equitable system for people to pay back those loans, and just because you go overseas, is probably not a reason you should get a pass not to pay those loans. So I think if done in a fair and equitable way, I support being able to make sure everyone pays for the education that they get.
Now, looking ahead to the rest of 2016, what would you like to see in federal education policy? Have you had any discussions with the Education Minister, Simon Birmingham?
I've had a chance to talk with him a couple times last year, but I think getting a funding model for the universities that's as I said, fair and equitable to the students, but also allows us to be excellent. That's a really important part. The government is emphasized, the importance of ideas in the coming years for the country, and universities are going to be right at the center of that. And so the ANU really wants to support that agenda, but we need to make sure that the carrots that we have to get out and get involved with business and make sure that our ideas get out of the universities are ones that actually make that happen. And so I really want to make sure that we get the signaling right for universities to be involved with the rest of Australian society and not have policies that end up slowing that down.
This is really a sort of a watershed moment for universities in many ways. I mean, the Innovation Minister, Christopher Pyne, says 70% of students are currently training for jobs that don't yet exist. How can higher education adapt for jobs of the future, unknown jobs of the future?
So I think we need to understand that when you go and get a university degree, you really are getting an education. You're not being trained, and there's a difference. Training really gives you on-the-job skills, and those are important as well, but universities are giving you lifelong skills. So I always say that when you come to the ANU, we're going to make sure that you do not get replaced by a robot sometime in the future years. And so it's about giving people analytic skills, and it's skills that allow you to, do things that robots cannot do.
And we don't know what robots can do yet, though.
Well, and we're helping them, design what robots can do. But you always have these skills to design, for example, the analytic skills to make artificial intelligence systems, ability to take very complex and disparate areas of both science and humanities. Robots are not good at that at this point. And so we give people very high-level, intense skills, and I think it's going to be a long time till robots replace those.
Well, one way that Adelaide University is modernising is by phasing out lectures and moving everything online. Do you think that's the way of the future for the ANU, no lectures?
So I don't see the lecture completely being phased out, but it is certainly true. The lecture's been with us since sort of the 13th century, and we're realizing that there are better and more interesting ways to get people to learn subjects. So here at the ANU, we've been leading many new areas of essentially education research where we're trialing and implementing innovative ways of teaching. So I'm not prepared just to ban the lecture. I think the lecture can be very useful when done well. However, we want to make sure we use the whole armament of digital technologies to make sure that everyone gets a better outcome than what they used to have. It is a great way to use digital technology. And so, for example, myself, I've rolled out 36 MOOCs with a colleague, Paul Francis, that 165,000 people around the world have used. That is something that people did not have access to a couple years ago. And we're using that technology to deploy these things, for example, within the physics department here at ANU and other departments as well.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. Brian Schmidt is the new Vice-Chancellor of the Australian National University.